Hmm? Chapter 14. And let's talk about dying tonight. Verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, you write. Write. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Their works do follow them. Let's talk about dying is the topic tonight, the text tonight. Let me read that quote from our bulletin this morning. I hope you read it. It's a good one. There is nothing more certain than death. Not taxes. Not even taxes. They will cease. There's nothing more certain than death. And nothing more uncertain than the time of dying. I should therefore be prepared at all times for that which may come at any time. That's a good quote, isn't it? Very profound statement. Nothing more certain than death, and nothing more uncertain than the time of my dying. I should therefore be prepared at all times for that which may come at any time. And as I said at our sister Virgie's funeral, it's natural to grieve over someone you love when they die. And to think about being without someone you've grown so attached to, it gives us great sorrow. You don't want to lose somebody, do you? You don't want to be without somebody. That's love. Love wants to be with the one it loves. You don't want to lose someone. We don't like to think about it for that reason. But we must. We absolutely must. So we won't sorrow as those who have no hope. And if that someone is a believer, we ought to expect it and prepare for it. Because God is calling His sheep home. One by one. Isaiah 57:1 says, the righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. The world thinks just another old woman died of old age. Just another old woman. One of God's dear sheep and saints entered into the halls of glory. The righteous perisheth. No man layeth it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, and men not considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. The righteous perishes. No man lays it to heart. Merciful men are taken away. And now, people don't consider that the righteous are taken away from the evil that is to come. Virgie does not have no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering, none. What mercy. What mercy. It's so, down through history, that verse I just read to you, that God has removed some of His choice vessels very quickly. The Brainerds, the David Brainerd, died at 29. Robert Rowe McShane, 29. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, 58. The likes of Jeremiah, so on and so forth. In my lifetime, I've seen the passing of some of God's dearest, dearest choice saints. Not so well known as Spurgeon, but saints nonetheless. You remember Raymond Gearhart? Young man about my age. Four young children. As strong a believer as I've ever known in my life. Died of leukemia, I believe it was. 39. Young wife. Four young children. Just young ones. On his deathbed, he witnessed more people. Charlie Payne. I'm just naming a few names. You may not know some of them. But Bill Borders, Art Young, Joyce Ballard, Daryl McClung. You remember me talking to you about a young lady up in Fairmont, West Virginia? A daughter of a couple up there, the Hardmans. You know them, John. Danette. She passed away Sunday. This girl, newly married, a believer, raised under the gospel under Scott Richardson preaching. Be about like Shannon there. Grown up to be a young lady in her 30s, married, have a young, she was pregnant, and she had an aneurysm in her brain and lapsed into a coma, and they thought she was going to die and didn't, and had the child, and she came out of the coma and was in a bad state for a long time. She was paralyzed somewhat. Her mental faculties were impaired. She began to improve. She could talk to you. She came to hear the gospel, loved to hear it, tears run down her face. And last Sunday when I was in Cottageville, they called us up. We were all standing around or sitting around on the porch, about 20 or 30 of us, and they said, Danette Bird died, 35 years old. The righteous perisheth. And men don't take it to heart. And God hath delivered them from them, and God hath mercifully delivered them from the evil to come. But let's talk about dying. Okay? Let's talk about the certainty of death, first of all. I have just a few points here. Easy to follow along, easy to take notes. About four main points. Let's talk about the certainty of death. We are going to die. We are going to die. Scripture says in Job 16, when a few years are come, then I shall go the way where I shall not return, whence I shall not return. In a few years. Oh, that they were wise, Deuteronomy 32:29 says, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this. And that they would consider their latter end. Consider it. Garnet, you're not a young lady anymore, are you? Your hair, the olive tree, the almond tree is flourishing. You're mighty close. Oh, that they were wise and they'd consider it. Let's consider it, okay? It's not a thing to be feared. It's not a thing to dread. It's not a thing to ignore. It's not a thing to not want to talk about. That's why I'm doing this. But the Scripture says of some people that they've made a covenant with death and with hell, and when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, that's death. Death angel pass through, they say, it won't come nigh us. We've made a We've made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. In other words, some people don't like to think about it, they won't think about it. I read a story of an ancient king whom, whenever a subject ever mentioned somebody dying, he'd have them killed. He didn't want to think about it. He did not want to talk about it. Absolutely avoided the issue. And some people in our day, most people act like they're never going to die. Don't they? Don't be like that. Let's not be like that, like the fool. And most people make plans and preparation for their life as if it's going to last forever. Most people retire thinking that they're going to have a long life of relaxation ahead. Don't they? People look forward to retirement for this long life. I mean, 65 years. Long life ahead. You know that most people die within 5 years of their retirement. That's a statistical fact. Most people die within 5 years of their retirement. Oh, that they were wise. And let's not be foolish. Let's be wise and consider. Death is certain. It may be tomorrow. It may be tonight. All right, let's talk about the state of death. Let's talk about death. What is it? The state of death. Look at the text here again. Look at it. Revelation 14. 13. Listen to the word of God. This is God Almighty speaking. And he gives a command to John here. He says, write this down for people to read, for my people to read, for them to take comfort in, for them to read it over and over again, for preachers to preach it, for people to hear it. For my people rejoice, write it down so they can see it with their own two eyes. And I said it, write it down, look at it. Here's the state of death. Blessed are the dead. Happy is what blessed means. Ain't nobody smiled yet until now. Since I started talking about death, I haven't seen one smile. As a matter of fact, everybody kind of like this. Blessed, every time the scripture means one thing. Happy. That's what it means, Violet. Happy are the dead which die in the Lord. The ones left are the ones that ain't happy. We ought to be happy for them. We ought to happily look forward to being happy. Blessed. That's what this death is. It's a state of blessedness. Supreme blessedness. It's the greatest blessing of all that God bestows upon us, His people. He giveth His beloved sleep. Sleep. Rest. That's what He said. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit. Yea! We ought to say it. Yay! Saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Anybody in here really enjoys working? There's some workaholics in here. Initials Henry Sword and Rick Williams and others. But really now, don't you much prefer to rest? And just fellowship and just eat and drink and really, you work because you have to, and the scripture says we ought to. 12 hours a day, man's got to work. He ought to work. Should need if he doesn't work. Rest though, rest. We didn't rest from their labor. That's what death is. It's a state of rest, eternal rest. We look forward to retirement, don't we? Are you enjoying yourself, Ellen? Your retirement? Resting? Good. Good. Want to go back to work?
You don't sit in that sewing machine again, do you? Really? We don't. It's what we look, Henry, it's what you're working toward, isn't it? Huh? It's just rest. Let Roberta do the rest of the work. Rest. This is what I'm trying to say. Believer, the state of death is eternal rest. Rest in peace. And death is not death, really, but it's life, more abundant life. The reason we call it death is because it's the cessation of this life, the ending of this life. It's the death of this life, but really it's life, the beginning of life eternal. It was significant. I thought this the other day. Did you think it was significant that we held Virgie's funeral came in springtime? You think about that? In the springtime. Here we're laying down this old, worn-out body. 85 years old. That's old. Car, an automobile, won't make it half that time. And these bodies get wrinkled and wore out. And that heart of hers just quit. It just quit. It's tired. We laid an old, worn-out body down. But now she's a spring chicken. Literally. And this is a play on words. I'm not trying to be cute. But Christ said, as a mother hen doth gather her brood. He gathered one of his little chickens. A spring chicken. Not old virgin. Young virgin. The springtime of her life. She's blooming and will ever be blooming. A bloom that fadeth not away. See, man is like the flower of the grass now. The flower and the grass of the field. Its beauty fadeth. Grass withereth and fadeth. The flower withereth and fadeth. But not up there. That flower. It's a sun flower. That's what it is. Death is the beginning of real life. It's a blessed state. And here's some of the states of, this is what the state of death is. It's the blessed state of being with Christ. Being with Christ. Being with Jesus Christ. Seeing Him. And the reason we can't enter into this is because we haven't really seen Him. But no sight, people, no sight you've ever seen, no sight I've ever seen is going to compare to seeing Him. No sight. John, in Revelation 1, it says, when I turned and saw the voice that spake to me. And then he tried to describe it. I saw Him as He is. No sight you've ever seen will compare to Him. It won't be a fearful sight. It'll be a glorious sight. That's the reason there's going to be 30 silence for the space of 30 minutes in heaven. There won't be anything to say. We're going to see Him. We're going to see Him. We're going to be with Him. We're going to be with Him. We'll see Him and be with Him. Have you ever been with someone that you couldn't get enough of seeing and you regretted leaving them later? Fellowship was just too brief. You want to spend more time with Him. Huh? And I've said this before. If we could multiply mercy and goodness and grace and tenderness and kindness and sweetness and fellowship that we've had with people and these things we see in people, if we could multiply that a million times, that's what this person, Jesus Christ, is like. What's going to be like to be with Him. It just... I had an older brother. As a child, I remember being so enamored with my eldest brother, my big brother. He was 8 years older than I was, and I loved being with him. I looked up to him. He could do no wrong. He was my hero, captain of the football team, lifted weights, you know. And went to the Army, you know, a hero, won awards and so forth. And I loved being with him. I loved being with him. Everything about him, it was no fault. I found no fault in him. I admired everything about him. I enjoyed doing things with him, going places with him. He taught me things, took me hunting and fishing. We were buddies, close buddies. Took me hunting and fishing. Remember when I was about Hannah's age there, he had a little MG sports car, 57 NG convertible. Four speed. He let me sit on his lap and shift the gears and drive that car, and I thought, this is great. My big brother. We go hunting, fishing, and do all these things together. I loved every minute I spent with my big brother. We have an elder brother, the scripture says. We have someone like that who sticketh closer than our brother. My brother died. I hadn't seen him since then. Since then, can't even know how long, 27 years. I forget. 17 years. No, I don't know my own age. 25 years is how long it's been. But we have a brother. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never forsake us. Sticketh closer than a brother. We have an elder brother. Ah, boy, the disciples, when they spent 3 1/3 years with every day, every day was just, they were like little kids. You know, every day they were just beset with wonders and amazement and just, you know what? Every day something new, something glorious that he did. They stood, John, all the time in awe and amazement of Christ. We're going to spend an eternity with, not 3 1/3 years, eternity. Eternity. Yeah, do you like good preaching? You like good preaching? Have you ever been under the sound of preaching? A preacher, his message anyway, that you were just enwrapped with what he was saying, and you hope, I hope this never ends. I hope this never ends. I remember, I've been under the sound of preaching like that. I thought about Virgie, and Virgie said that she didn't want, one of the last things she said, she didn't want to go to that nursing home, hear that bad preaching, you know. So the Lord said, okay, from here on out, you're going to hear the best preaching you've ever heard. From this day forward, and for the rest of your life, you're going to hear him who spake like no man ever spake. She doesn't have to hear even me bad preaching. I've done and will do some more bad preaching. She ain't got to hear me. She's going to hear him. She's hearing him right now, Henry. Wouldn't you gladly swap me for him? Gladly. The greatest story. You ever sat and listened to someone tell a storyteller, a good storyteller? I remember as a kid listening to somebody tell stories, and you just hang on every word. The greatest story ever told is going to be told by the greatest storyteller to ever tell it. And the amens, Rick, we're going to say amen
every word he says.
No, I hold back. And ladies, you're going to be doing it too. Because it ain't going to be. You're not going to be. We're permitted to speak. You're permitted to speak up there. You're permitted to shout, Jeanette. You're going to, and every word he's going to say, John, every word we're going to be saying, amen, 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 amen. So you're getting carried away. No, I'm not either. Going to be shouting. Joy unspeakable. It's going to be a state of worship. It's going to be a state of worship. I'm going to hear, and what we do here, it's going to be much of what we're doing here. Like I said, I asked you if you like good preaching. I want to hear him preach. I sure do. Do you like good singing? Do you like good singing? Barnard, you remember the story of Barnard? He said, I loved good singing, but I never could do any of it. He's like that fellow said, if I was a sewing machine, it wouldn't even be a singer. Up there. You like to sing? John, you love to sing, don't you? You're going to sing, buddy. You're going to be part of a heavenly choir at, like you never heard. Anything wrong with considering these things? No, I started out with him first. And what we're going to be singing is not silly little ditties about the cabin in the corner. We're going to sing it unto him. We're going to be singing unto him. What about good eating? You like good eating? This is death. This is what it's going to be like to go be with the Lord. You like good eating? Anybody here like good eating? Well, I know you do. I've seen you. Don't be a liar. You like good eating? You like church dinners? You like church dinners? There's going to be an eternal one. A marriage supper of the light. We have some spreads down here, don't we? You remember that story of Sheba coming to see Solomon that we looked at, and how she saw the spread of his table, so many thousand pounds of cornbread and all that, so many cattle and deer and all that. A greater than Solomon is going to serve a bigger table. And I really believe this, people. I'm not exaggerating, and I'm not just making this up. And this is not just, I really don't believe this is just a sanctified imagination. Do you remember when the people, the spies, went into the land of promised land, and they came back, two of them came back carrying one cluster of grapes? Henry. And there's nothing wrong with it. This is what it's going to be like, people. Death. Our Lord, a greater than Solomon, will serve greater portions and more glories. Do you like good fellowship? You like to sit around the table and talk to brethren? Like good fellowship, Dickie? Like to talk about the gospel, profitable discord? Do you? Spiritual conversation, you like that? You and Moses are going to sit around and have a talk. Huh? Yeah. I'm going to sit down with David, and he and I are going to talk about the son of David. Talk about the types, John. I love that story. I love all those old types. David and I are going to talk about it. Yeah, we are. We're going to discuss it at length. Why do we fear death? Because it's unknown. Oh, that's why we fear the unknown. We've never been there. But it's not unknown. Christ has been there.
Right? Do we believe Christ or don't we? He came back from the dead. He told us all about it. He said there's nothing to fear. Didn't it? Fear not. Didn't it? There's nothing to fear. Our young people, Andrew, and I believe in young people that if you seek the Lord right now and worship Him with what light He's given you thus far, if He were to come right now or if you were to die right now, I believe you'd go be with Him. You don't need to fear death either. You don't. I can say that with confidence in my mercy. You don't need to fear. You worship Him in the light you have. You seek Him right now with all your heart, and He'll be found of you. But our Lord came back from the dead, and He said, there's nothing. And we read that, oh, death, where is thy sting? That's what we're going to say after dying. You know that? That's what we're going to say after, well, that didn't hurt death. That didn't hurt a bit. Hurt? Why, it was positively glorious. It was refreshing. Sleep. Rest. Like I said, none of us dread rest. What we dread is not being able to. Don't you, Violet? That's what you dread in going home tonight and not being able to go to sleep. What if you thought you could get 12 hours of uninterrupted sleep? Would you dread it? Would you dread lying down? You'd hop in that bed like you said, whew, you'd dive in, wouldn't you? If we believed everything I've been saying thus far, oh, death, where is thy sting? Wouldn't we? And you read it tonight, John. Let us labor to enter into that rest. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God, an eternal Sabbath. Let us labor to enter into it. And we have to overcome our, by God's Spirit, by God's grace, by God's Word, what I'm doing right now, has to overcome our fears, our dreads of death. That's the purpose of this message tonight. Death. Spiritual mind is life and peace, isn't it? Well, who are the partakers of this death? We've considered the certainty of death and the state of death, the partakers of this death. It said in our text, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. In the Lord. That's who's blessed. Those who die accepted in the Beloved. Now, here's comfort. I'm not going to give you a thing to do here. Just believe. Accepted in the Beloved. That's who's going to be blessed. Those who are of God in Christ, who's made unto them wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, those are the blessed who will die in the Lord. Those who've been chosen by God, given to Christ, who He shed His precious blood for, whose the gospel came to, who received it not in word only, but with power and the Holy Ghost and much assurance, who were drawn, wooed, convicted of their sins, given the gift of faith in Christ. We were talking about that in the study, weren't we? John, Henry, last night we were talking about it. One of the brothers said, I just don't understand why people don't believe in grace. It's just so easy. Isn't it? It's so plain from the Word of God that it's so easy just to rest in Christ, isn't it? Somebody else, and let some, humanly speaking, let somebody else do it all for you. And the brother said, I don't understand why people don't receive this. It's such good news to me, he said. Well, blessed are you, John Barshesley. The flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, did it?
my Father which is in heaven. That's the gift. And kept by the Spirit, all those who are in Christ, kept by the Spirit in the faith, believing, trusting, resting in Christ. You are, aren't you? Aren't you? Huh? Garnet, you trust in Christ? Are you trusting your morality or your religion or that you're a good woman? Is that what you're trusting in? You trust in Christ alone? I mean, all your hope of going to be with the Father and is in Christ and who He is and what He did. Is that all your hope? Is that all your hope? When you die, you're going to be one of these blessed ones. Huh? You're going to be smiling like you're smiling right now, only bigger. That's right. All who come to God by Christ, He said, are saved. They will no wise cast them out. No wise. All who believe Christ are given eternal life. All right? Here's the preparation of it, for it. And I've already been saying that. Trust Christ. Trust Christ. And you'll die in the Lord. That's it. Trust Christ. And you'll die in the Lord. And let's think about it, what we're doing tonight. Let's think about it. Let's talk about it. Let's prepare for it. As believers, let's prepare our families for it. Let's prepare our families for it. Let our families know what we want done about it. Let's talk about it like it's liable to happen tomorrow, and let's prepare for it and prepare them for it and tell them what we want and make preparations. The man's going to his long home, he makes preparation for it, doesn't he? Doesn't she? My sister and I were talking yesterday about this thing, and I told her, and I'll tell you right now, listen to this. I would like for us, each one of us in here, the believers, I would like for us to bury our own. I would like for us to, and I'm going to have trouble putting this into words, but in other words, when I die, I don't want my body sitting out for a funeral home. I want it right here. I want it right here. You see, down at the funeral home, that's where the dead are. That's where you expect the dead to be, and that's what you expect. It's the funeral, and everybody gets in the mode of the funeral, and the funeral men are funeral men. You know, everybody just, This is where I've always been. This is our own church family here. When I die, put my body right here for the children of this church to behold it. So I just saw him stand, and there he is. And they'll put the two together, you know. This is real. It's a testimony for our children. Bring the community in here. Right? Bring them in here. We can see as many people as that chapel did down there. Bring them in here. Let a man come up here and preach the gospel. Let me stand up here and let's have a worship service like we do it all, like any other time. Let's not have a funeral. You know what I mean? Does that make sense what I'm saying? John, tell your family that. Express those wishes. When I die, put my body in a box right here. And let's have the service 7 o'clock Sunday night. More people can come that way. More people hear the gospel. Let's sing. Let's have 4 hymns. Let's sing. Scripture reading. Let's just carry on like we always have. We're not burying the dead. You understand? The living are sending off the living. Huh?
that make sense to you? That's where I think it ought to be. I've been to this funeral. I've been to, that's what you call them, in the funeral of believers, where their bodies lay in state where they were, where you found them at all the time. And it just meant more. It really did. It meant more to the children, meant more to the church, the community come in and see where you were, where you sat all the time, where you sat all the time, where you're laying. It just means more. I hope you'll consider that anyway, for this testimony to the gospel. You know, it gives credence to this local assembly, too. It really does. And let's not grieve over other believers. Don't worry about yourself and don't grieve over the others too much. Let's act like we believe something. Time of death is everybody's watching us. Let's act like we believe something. Let me just ask you a few questions that enter into our mind about this thing of death, okay? This will interest you. Everybody here has asked these questions. Here's questions about death that we have. Will we have a body? Will we have a body? Well, we read that in 1 Corinthians 15, didn't we? Remember reading that? There'll be a spiritual body. And we'll look at Philippians 3 very quickly, okay? I won't keep you much longer. Philippians 3, look over there. Will we have a body? Yes. We'll have a body. And people, I tell you what is a mystery to me. It's a lot. It's a mystery. I don't mean to sound like I know a lot. Most everything is a mystery to me. But the thing that is a mystery to me is what state actually will be in between the time that he raises this body and the time I died. You know what I'm saying? When I die, I'm going to have a body, Sam. It's not going to be this body. It's going to be in the ground, rotting. But the Scripture plainly says that he's going to raise these vile bodies. Look at it, verse 21 of Philippians 3. He shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And that's what he said over there in the book of Thessalonians. He said, when the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise. The grave shall be open. When Christ arose from the grave, graves were open and people walked into the town. Remember that? And that's a mystery in the stand. I don't know. I don't know. But we will have a body. Are we going to eat and drink and do things with these bodies? Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. You know, a body's a body, isn't it? Look at Luke 24, verse 36. This is when our Lord appeared to the disciples. It says, you got it? Luke 24, 36. As they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them when he arose, and said unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they'd seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands. He had hands, John. My feet. He had feet. They weren't like E.T.'s feet. Or see some of these ridiculous things on Star Wars. They were feet. Human feet with five toes on each foot and hands. He said, my hand, hold my hands, my feet. It's I, myself, the one you knew. The body, it's me. Handle me and see. A spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. You remember reading there in 1 Corinthians 15 where Paul said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God? You remember that, Deborah? Flesh and bones. I thought about this. You know, Christ,
poured out all his blood. And in this too, John, the life of the flesh is in what? The blood. But the life of the Spirit is Christ. Right? There's not going to be blood coursing through these veins. Flesh and bones. Spirit's going to be the life. That will depend on the nutrition of the bloodstream.
And when he had spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet, verse 41, and while they yet believed not for joy, what a joy, and wondered, and he said unto them, got anything to eat? I'll prove it to you. It's me, it's me. He said, got anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in front of them. Watch this, he said. Ricky said, watch this. And they said, it is him. It is him. Him! They touched him and handled him. Don't you know that John, Jeanette, don't you know the beloved disciple? Squeezed him. It's him. It's him. It's him. A body. Will we know each other? We gonna know each other? Yes. They knew Christ, didn't they? They remember when Moses and Elijah came down on the Mount of Transfiguration? The disciples knew them. Sure, they'd never met Moses. How'd they know it was Moses? They knew it was Moses. They knew, even as they'd been known right then. Elijah, you remember when Samuel was brought back from the dead? Remember that in the Old Testament, when Samuel was brought back from the dead? They knew it was Samuel. You remember that? They knew it was Samuel. We'll know each other. I'm going to say, there's Garnet. Why am I keep talking to you, Garnet? That white head is just sticks out there. There's another one. I'm going to say, there's Violet. And Violet's going to say, well, there's Paul. Yes. There's Moses. And Moses is going to say, well, there's Paul. Yes. Yes. The last names will change. What will be our relationship to one another? Look at Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark 12. What will be our relationship to one another? Mark chapter 12, verse 25 and verse 24. Christ said, You do err, not knowing the Scriptures, neither the power of God. When they shall rise from the dead, in the resurrection, when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Given, or that is, they are not in the marriage state. They are as the angels which are in heaven. There's no marriage. Mindy's not going to be my wife. Because why? Because I'm her head. If she were my wife, I'd still be her head. Right? The husband is the head of the wife. In Christ, and I'll not have you turn, but in Galatians 3, it says, in Christ there's not going to be any male nor female. There's not going to be any order or any rank, Stan. No rank. All will be equal. No male or female. I'm not going to have the preeminence over her. Christ is going to have it. I'm not going to be Hannah. Hannah's there. I'm not going to be her daddy. The Heavenly Father's going to be her father. Right? Henry's not going to be your husband. Your maker is your husband. That's what Isaiah 54 said. We're all going to be, if you wanted to say that we would have a gender, we'd all be female. We're all going to be the bride, the weaker vessel. Christ is going to be the he, the him, the him. He's going to be the one. No husbands, no children. No ranks, all equal. Christ has the preeminence. And I've said this before. If it's that way, if there are no relationships like that, there won't be any disappointments, will there? If my husband, you remember when Christ said, or when they said to Christ, Jenny, you remember when they came and said, your mother's out here? He said, who's my mother? He said, look, there's my mother. Now, he didn't mean that they were above him. He just said, this is my relation. This is my family. Your brothers and sisters are out. Who's my brother and sister? And here we're not going to miss our brother and sister. If they're not there, they're not going to be our brother and sister. I'm going to be your brother. Like now, I'm your brother. If I'm there, I'll be your brother then. If I'm not there, I was not your brother then. Now. And vice versa. You see, there'll be no disappointments that way. We're not going to be sad. Somebody's not going to come up and say, where's your husband? Didn't he make it? No. It'd be sad, wouldn't you? Be sad over these relations, these children and husband and mother and father. No, not going to be that. Not going to be a disappointment. We're not even going to know each other as we were in this previous life. The former things, Isaiah 65:17, shall not be remembered, nor come to mind. We're going to know, even as we've been known. Does that make sense to you? It has to. Because Christ becomes all and in all. And spiritual wisdom now is to have these things set in order now. You know what? Spiritual wisdom now is to have us in maturity now, is to fall in love with Christ now so as to not be overly grieving and so forth, when we lose these people. When Christ is all. You understand? That's maturity. That's spiritual maturity. Now, everything I've said is sung according to the Word of God. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another. Death is not something to be dreaded, something to be feared. It's something to look forward to. All right, let's stand. Let's stand. Brother Henry, would you dismiss us, please?